إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Islam seeks to make nikah easy and zina difficult. Unfortunately, we have turned this on its head, and then we wonder why there is so much corruption in society. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates in a beautiful hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If anyone whose religious commitment and attitude pleases you proposes marriage, then marry your female relative under your charge to that person. If you do not do that, there will be fitna and trials and tribulations and much corruption in the land." This hadith is in Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, and it's a Sahih hadith graded by Nasiruddin Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, this shows very clearly that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that the thing to look for in a groom, in a husband, is religious commitment, dindari, and good manners, akhlaq. The same holds for the bride. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that if you get such a proposal from such a person, then don't dilly-dally about that. Marry that person, because this is the secret of retaining goodness in society. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha narrates in another very beautiful hadith, which is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. She said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The nikah with the most barakah is that nikah wherein the least expense was incurred." He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "The nikah with the most barakah is that nikah in which the least expense was incurred." So ask yourself, what about the nikah in which the most expense is incurred? Today we seem to live in a society where we do our best. We race with one another. We try to exceed one another, not in having a nikah which is the simplest, but the opposite, in having a nikah which is the most complicated, having a nikah which is the in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is disobeyed the most, and which has customs and practices in it which are as much against the sunnah as possible. Where do we think this is going to lead us? Think about that. Where is it going to lead us? We know what is already happening. Indebtedness in the community, all kinds of corruption, divorce rates way beyond other communities. Yet, we don't learn. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq. Each one of us has to make this decision for ourselves. Please remember that the primary responsibility to ensure that no unnecessary expenses are incurred and that nothing is done which is against Islam is that of the groom and the bride. It is not the responsibility of the parents. It's not the marriage of the parents. It's the marriage. It's your marriage. So you are responsible. If you don't think you are old enough to stand up for your Islamic duties, then definitely you are not old enough to get married. So wait until you grow up. Obedience to parents or anyone else comes after obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Neither your parents nor anyone else is going to come into your graves with you. You will be there alone, and you will answer why you allowed unnecessary expenses and unlawful practices to be done in your marriage. How do you expect barakah in your married life? How do you expect the help of Allah? How do you expect good children? How do you expect happy relationships? And how do you expect prosperity and safety when you did everything possible to anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during your marriage? Get real, people. Stop fooling yourself. You're not fooling anyone else. So please grow up or remain unmarried. It's as clear as that. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself, in a hadith narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, the great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his companion and his servant in Medina, who served him for 10 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he narrated that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the trace of yellow glittering on Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "What is this?" He replied, "Ya Rasulullah, I married a woman." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "How much mahar did you give her?" Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu said, "I gave one nawat weight of gold." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed him and told him, "Hold a walima, even if only with one sheep." And this hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud, and it's a Sahih hadith. Now, point here is that here was Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. The great Sahabi Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the Ashara Mubashara, one of the people who was given the Bashara of Jannah in this life, he got married. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Medina, but Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu, on the day of the wedding, did not give a party, did not host a meal. He did not even invite Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for that wedding. He just got married. Now this shows that when he got married, that marriage is such a simple, easy thing to do. This is not an indication of lack of adab, na'udhu billah. It's an indication that the nikah is to be a simple ceremony without any party, without any dinner or lunch or whatever after it. Rasulullah ﷺ told him to give a walima, which he did, and that shows that the walima is the responsibility of the groom, of the man, and not the bride and her family. Brothers and sisters, please remember that if we, especially the wealthy among us, don't change our ways, then we will invite the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is in this connection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us and told us that we are the architects of our own destruction. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily Allah does not change the good condition of a people as long as they don't change their good condition themselves by committing sins, by being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very, very important to understand this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying very clearly that I do not change your condition until you change it yourself, which means that the changing of the condition is something that Allah has left to us. We can live a life which is as beautiful as we want, or we can ruin it as much as we want. Now, why would anybody do that? Just think about that. Why would you want to ruin your life? For what? What is the benefit of ruining your life? Seriously, I think it's a time for us to take stock and to ensure that we do not do anything to disobey and displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of ayat of Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرِيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَ فِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلُ فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly in this ayah, Allah said that, and when we intend to destroy a city, we command its affluent and rich people, but they defiantly disobey the command. So the word comes into effect upon them, and then we destroy them with complete destruction. Let us have some fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not invite the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala onto ourselves. What kind of thinking is that we play these games with none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying very clearly that even where a city and people have been doing wrong things, Allah gives them a chance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to correct themselves. And if they correct themselves, then alhamdulillah, there's no problem. But if they don't do that, then the adab of Allah comes and there is complete destruction. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from destruction. In this city, in Hyderabad particularly, I think we are doing our best to invite this destruction on ourselves. May Allah save us from that. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned again in Surah Al-An'am, Allah said, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so when they forgot that by which they had been reminded, when they forgot the warning that was sent to them to obey Allah, Allah says, we opened on them the doors of every good things. We opened on them the doors of the heavens, and all good things were given to them, until when they were immersed in the rejoicing of with what they were given, we seized them suddenly, and they were then in despair. Think about this. What a terrible way to die, that you are not even given the opportunity to make tawbah. May Allah protect us from this. And the reason for that is insisting on disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, it's such a terrible thing. Somebody came to Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, and they said, yeah, Imam, you say that good begets good and evil begets evil, and people, if they disobey Allah, Allah will punish them. But we find that this is not true. We find that people who disobey Allah and do it openly, they are getting wealthier and they are getting more influential. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi recited this ayah, and he said, see what Allah said here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when they disobey and they continue to disobey despite knowing that what they are doing is wrong, then we open upon them all gates of the heavens, and suddenly we grab them. So he said, when you see that happening, when you see people disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet their wealth does not come to an end, they do not have losses, their wealth doesn't decrease, actually increases, influence increases, popularity increases. Imam Shafi rahmatullah said that is a sign that the azab of Allah has already started on those people. I remind you and myself, today we have people who think, Muslims, who think that they say, Allah humare ko diya to hum karenge. Imagine this is what kind of arrogance this is. They say, Allah has given us, so we will do this. So Allah has given us, so you will disobey Him. Is this what you are saying? That Allah has given you, so you will disobey? Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do this, this is what Allah said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah will destroy those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grab them. And Imam Shafi rahmatullah said, when you see that happening, when you see people disobeying Allah openly, then see, remember that that is a sign that the azab of Allah has already started on those people. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. Finally, my brothers and sisters, I want to end with one reminder, which is that remember, on the day of judgment, you will not be asked what happened. You will be asked, what did you do? So do not allow that which is not in your control to prevent you from doing what is in your control. What other people are doing, what society is doing, and so on and so forth is not in your control. Forget about that. You make sure that you do your wedding strictly and completely and totally according to the Sharia of Muhammad Rasulullah. You make sure that you do not participate, no matter who says what. You make sure that you do not go to a wedding in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being disobeyed. As long as you do these two things, inshallah, I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive what we have done, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your lives and to fill your weddings with His barakah and with blessing, and to save you and me from ourselves, and to save us from doing anything which is the disobedience of Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmal alamin.